ओम ज्ञानतिमिरं तस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकः चक्षुर्नीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Vijaya Anandana, he says that when I hear the kirtan, which is given by Lord Chaitanya, my heart dances in pleasure. So kirtan is not part of our movement, it is our movement. So we should go on and on chanting. Actually, it'd be nice if we could just go on with this kirtan now, but I guess I'm supposed to speak something. Once Prabhupada was sitting in Mayapur, he was in his room during the Mayapur festival, and he told his secretary, call all the GPCs immediately. So immediately word went out, Prabhupada is calling the GPCs, they should all come immediately. So usually that would mean something very serious, that Prabhupada is suddenly calling the GPCs. Usually maybe some very serious problem or something. So all the GPC came. Maybe those of you who have been to Mayapur, you've seen Prabhupada darshan. Prabhupada would just sit back like this on the bolster. So all the GPC came, Prabhupada sat there with a big smile. He said, just listen to that kirtan. Because the devotees from all over the world are doing big kirtan. He said, Mayapur is meant for this. He said, in future we should bring 500 devotees from all over the world only for kirtan. We'll have constant kirtan. Constant kirtan, of course, is there in Mayapur, but not 500 devotees. One of Prabhupada's plans for the Mayapur city was a stadium, 50,000 people stadium, kirtan stadium. So anyway, that's chant. Yeah, kirtan would be pretty powerful, kirtan. Just to teach us how we should pray to Krishna to be delivered from material existence. But some of the songs reveal his actual internal position as a highly elevated devotee of Krishna. Now I'm going to read one of those songs. This is in the series of songs in which he is speaking about accepting everything favorable for devotional service. Now, at the ordinary level of devotional service, or at the level that we are on, accepting things favorable for devotional service means very basic practices, many of which were described in the song previous to this. Taking the dust from the lotus feet of pure devotees, serving devotees, observing days like Ekadashi and Janmashtami, visiting the holy places visited by Lord Chaitanya, chanting in kirtan, taking darshan of the deity, so many different things he's described. But in this song he's going to describe that which increases the devotion of those who are already on the most elevated planet. Now what this means is that those who are eternally liberated devotees, they live in the spiritual world with Krishna. And they're always absorbed in the ecstasy of pure love for Krishna. But still, there are some things which make that ecstasy burn up and flame up, arise more and more in their hearts. This phenomena is called in Sanskrit udipa. This is described in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And those things which give cause to increase the ecstasy of the pure devotees, they are called udipaks. Udipak. Udipak means a light or a flame. And ud means arising. So that which makes the flame of ecstasy arise more and more, that is called udipak. So these are very elevated subjects, which it's not possible for our devotees in our level of devotion to understand. But anyway, as it's in the series of songs, we'll read it. We may not understand, but we'll simply offer our obeisances to Bhakti and Bhakti. Radha Kunda Tata Kunja Kutira Govardhana Parva Jamuna Tira. He says that, first he speaks about Kutira. Kutira means little cottage. So, speaking about cottage in the Kunja means the forest grove on the banks of Sri Sri Radha Kunda. Now, by seeing these things, by remembering these things, that one's devotion increases. That's why sometimes we keep photos or paintings of all these things. By seeing these paintings of Krishna's Leela, that will remind us of that, and that will increase our memory of Krishna, that will cause our devotion to awaken more and more. Or sometimes devotees, they keep photos of Radhakund or Govardhan Hill, all these different things. So first he's mentioning Radhakunda Tata Kunja Kutira, cottage in the forest grove on the banks of Radhakund. Then Govardhan Parvat, Govardhan Hill. Two ordinary appearances, Govardhan Hill is just another hill. But of course it is not. It is most sacred. Therefore, thousands and thousands of people are always going there. Actually, more and more and more. Govardhan is becoming more and more popular. especially on the Purnima, on the full moon day, you will find thousands, thousands of people coming from different parts all around, from different parts of Madhya Pradesh, Rajasthan, Uttar Pradesh, Delhi, all different parts surrounding. They come in buses and trains. So Govardhan Hill is out in the countryside. It's not near any big town. Especially on the Purnima day, all around, 14 kilometers around, it's packed tight, you can hardly move. So, just remembering Govardhan Hill, that is also a cause for advancing our devotion. And Yamuna Tira, the bank of the river Yamuna. There's so many nice places you can go and sit down peacefully, chanting. And of course, along the Yamuna, there are so many different places of Krishna's famous pastimes, such as Kaliya Ghat, where he chastised the Kaliya snake. Then Keshi Ghat, where he finished off Keshi demon. Chiragat, where he stole the clothes of the gopis. So many places. Now, Kusaram Sarova, Manasha Ganga, Kalinda Nandini Vipul Taranga. So even the language is very nice. Kusama Sarova, Manasha Ganga, Kalinda Nandini Vipula Taranga. So Kusam Sarova, you must have seen, I think, at least the photo you saw, that nice big lake. So anyway, if we're going to speak about all the different things here, will take a very long time. These are different places of the pastimes of Krishna, especially places of pastimes of Radha Krishna. Manasa Ganga, that is also another lake, non-different from Ganga. And Kalinda Nandini means another name for Yamuna. Kalinda Nandini Vipul Taranga means in the Yamuna there is many, many waves flowing. So remembering the sight of the Yamuna, how the waves are flowing, especially in the rainy season, which must have started by now, there's a lot of water and some wind and there's some nice waves. Vamshibhat means that is the banyan tree under which Krishna used to sit and play his flute, and all the gopis would come running to him. And Gokul, that is the village where Krishna was living. Krishna is famous as Gokul Chandra, Gokul Ananda, so many different names. Gokul Ranjana. Then Dhira Shamira. Dhira Shamira means the very soft, gentle breeze. Now you may think, well, what's so special about that? It's just some wind, that's all. But in Vrindavan, even the wind is transcendental. Because all these different things, they're arranged by Yoga Maya, the internal potency of the Lord, to increase the pleasure of Krishna's pastimes. Yoga Maya is just like, you see, the orchestra conductor. The orchestra conductor, now you play loudly, now you play softly, now everyone together. So Yoga Maya knows how to arrange all these things to make the pastimes of Krishna very sweet and pleasing. Vrindavana Taravatika Banira. And the creepers and foliage in Vrindavan. All the plants, with the, you see the jungle, how the jungle grows. In the hot climate, especially where there is more rain, then so many different plants grow very quickly. And all the plants and creepers and trees in Vrindavan, they're all simply existing for the pleasure of Krishna. So many pleasing plants are there. Even in our material existence, we find if we go in the countryside, it's very pleasant, very nice, very, very soothing to the mind. Whereas if we go in the city, it's very noisy and crowded and so much pollution. Actually, Russian cities aren't so bad in many ways yet, because people don't have so many cars yet. In a few years, you'll probably also have very nice traffic jams, just like all the other countries of the world. And you'll be really advanced, plenty of noise and pollution. But actually, the country is very pleasant. So even God himself prefers that. He also lives in Dwarka, which is a city. Of course, Dwarka is the ISKCON pronunciation. And the real pronunciation is Dwarka. All the words in ISKCON say Dwarka. I don't know why. Dwarka. So, but even that, it's not a city. There's no, like, modern city with big factories and power stations. But there are plenty of parks and gardens. There's no people getting up in the morning, going to the factory, having political parties and strikes. Different kind of city. Krishna consciousness. So Krishna is living very happily in Dwarka, but in his original feature, he prefers to live in Vrindavan, with the gentle breezes blowing, and the forest, the plants. And what else? Khagamrigakul means many groups of birds and animals. You see many birds, they like to go in groups. Crows, they also like to go in groups, but that's not, we're not talking about crows. Especially in Vrindavan, the famous bird is the peacock. You see so many peacocks even now dancing. And parrots. Parakeets. Parrots are big birds, parakeets a little bit smaller. Even now, many places in India in the morning you'll see huge flocks, thousands and thousands of bright green parrots flying. Like a thick cloud, a green cloud, bright green parrots. Thousands and thousands. So in Vrindavan there are parrots, swans, cranes, ducks, peacocks, very nice birds. And so many animals, especially the cows. And other animals also, like deer, they go in groups. And even there are tigers and elephants. But there's no animosity between the animals. Even the tigers are peaceful. That is Vrindavan. Then Malaya Batash. So this means the very cooling wind. Of course, in Russia, you don't want to hear about cooling wind. The wind in the winter is too cold. It will go right into your bones. I've experienced it also. I was in October, in the beginning of winter, in St. Petersburg. So, that was only the beginning of winter. So anyway, cooling breeze, that is very pleasant in Vrindavan, because it gets quite hot there. I was there for about 1 month a few years ago, in June, May, June. And every day the thermometer was going above 50. And unfortunately, there was no Malaya Batash. There was no cooling breeze, day or night. That Narottam Das sings one song, Shamsara Vishanale Divanishi Hiyajali. He says, day and night we are burning in material existence. So we had practical experience what this means. It's so hot you feel like a chapati being cooked. And that night even there's no relief. So anyway, during Krishna's pastimes, maybe it wasn't so scorching hot. Because it's become hotter. Because they chopped all the forests around. But anyway, it was hot. We read that in the Krishna book. In the chapter, description of autumn. That when the rainy season began, all the inhabitants felt great relief from the scorching heat. So when it's very hot, when there's a cool breeze coming, you feel, oh, very satisfying. So Malaya Batash means, actually this Malaya, this refers to a place in South India where many sandalwood trees grow. With sandalwood trees they grow. So the sandalwood trees, by nature, are very cool. So if the air comes through the sandalwood forest, it will be very pleasant scent is one thing, because sandalwood smells very sweet. And it will be very cool also, because sandalwood is very cool. You'll find sandalwood trees, they're a little dangerous to go near to, because many snakes like to go to the sandalwood tree and wrap themselves around. Because the snake's body always feels very hot, because they're the poison in their body. So they like to go and wrap themselves around the sandalwood tree. So anyway, the cooling breeze is called Malaya Batash. Then, Mayur means peacocks, essential for Krishna's pastimes. Krishna is Bahavatam Sam. Every morning we sing that. And Krishna has a peacock feather in his head. This is his description of Krishna. That he's holding flute to his mouth. And his eyes are more beautiful than the blooming lotus petal. He has a peacock feather in his hair. And his body is blackish color. Generally it's considered, if someone's body is a little black, it's considered not so nice looking. At least in India people are very conscious of this. But Asitam Buddha Sundaram Gambad, even though his body is blackish, it is extraordinarily beautiful. So, Mayur, peacock, Brahma, means one kind of bumblebee. Bees, they're always looking for the honey. So they're also a part of Krishna's pastime. They're always buzzing around here and there, making a pleasant sound. So all these different things, they make a very pleasant atmosphere for Krishna's pastime. And Murali, that means Krishna's long flute. And Vilas, Krishna's pastimes, they're called Vilas. And Vilas means enjoyable activities. Vino is Krishna's shorter flute. And then Shringa means his buffalo horn. From the buffalo's horn, they make a nice horn for blowing. This is the paraphernalia for a cowherd horn. buffalo horn and flute is for calling the count. Then Pada Chinna means the in the dust of Vrindavan there is Krishna's lotus footprints. Krishna has very specific footprints. There are different signs there, different things, lotus and fish, and then this rod for driving elephants. Different things are there. So those are implanted in the dust of Vrindavan. And Meghamala means in the rainy season, big, big clouds in the sky. So this also gives impetus to remember Krishna. And Vashanta, that's a different season, the spring season. There are different pastimes of Krishna in different seasons. There are six seasons in India. I think here there's mostly just two, just cold. Cold and cold and cold, that's three seasons. And a little bit warm is one. But in India there are six distinct seasons. And at least in Bengal, it's quite remarkable that the season just changes in one day. One day it'll be spring, and the next day the weather is changed completely to summer. And exactly on the right date. Summer should begin today, and it will begin. It means that spring is hot days and cool nights. And then summer is very hot days and hot nights. So like this, there are different pastimes, different flavors in different seasons. There's different kinds of pleasures to be enjoyed. Just like in the hot season, you enjoy the cooling moonlight at night. And in the rainy season, the devotees, they enjoy sitting in the cave in Govardhan Hill with the rain dropping outside. Then Shashanka means the moon. The Shasha means the hair. You know hair, the kind of animal hair?
Mm-hmm.
And Anka means the mark. Means mark, sign. So according to the, in Sanskrit they say the moon has got the mark of a hare. In every language there's some different kind of idea. You know the marks on the moon. In English they say it's an old man on the moon. What do they say in Russian? No such thing? Black marks on the moon, they don't say anything? There must be something in the folklore. Woman with a stick. Chasing her husband. That's why the Russians never went to the moon, afraid of the woman. Anyway, according to the Sanskrit language, there's the mark of the head. So the moon is very important in Krishna's pastimes. And especially full moon night is very very favorable for Krishna's pastimes. And Shankha means conch. This thing which you're blowing is not really a conch. It's real conch should be that without, you know, very smooth and white. So Karatala means Karatals. Kara means hand, tal means to keep the beat. So rhythm. So Karatals, therefore, they're keeping the beat. Because in Krishna's pastimes there's always a lot of singing and dancing. Karatals, madangas especially. In Krishna's Leela also, Kartals and Madanga, very important. So, Juval Vilashe Anukul Jani, Leela Vilash and Deepak Mani. So, Bhakti Rao Thakur, all these things, he's given a big long list. So he says that I know all these things as very favorable for the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And I accept them as Udipaks, the causes of inspiration for that leela. Eshab charsha kahi nahi jaun. He says, I don't want to go anywhere without these things. Eshab charata paran haram. Says that because without these things, life is meaningless. So this is Bhakti Rao Thakur's highly elevated level of devotional service. See, pure devotee, he may act externally as an ordinary devotee. But internally, he's always thinking of these things. Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. Radha kunda tata kunja kutira Uvudana parabat jamuna tira. The cottage on the bank of the Radha Kund in the grove. Govardhan Hill, the Yamuna River and its banks. So this stage is not to be imitated, but it is naturally achieved by a highly advanced devotee. There are two very similar words in Sanskrit. Anukaran, Anusharan. Their meaning is quite different. Anukaran means imitation and Anusharan means following. So we should try to follow the great devotees as much as possible. But we should never imitate. Yes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving us instruction, just like yesterday we were reading, how to control the senses, how to control the urges of the mind, belly, genital organs. But we should know that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's singing these songs as if he's a conditioned soul, and he certainly isn't. Bhaktivinoda kahe shunokan tua adipok mara pran. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, listen, my dear Lord Krishna, that these vidipaks, these stimuli, that's the word, stimuli. These stimuli for your pastimes, they are my very life. So, I don't think there's time to read another song, so I'll just take questions. In general questions, apart from, I mean, I don't expect to have too many questions about this, because it's very exalted subject matter. It's not particularly philosophical, it's at the level beyond philosophy. When you've realized all philosophy, and then you're actually experiencing advanced spiritual life, that is a description of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's experience. That's why Prabhupada said about Krishna book, don't ask questions, just enjoy it. Bhagavad Gita, we should ask so many questions. What are the just like Arjuna is asking so many questions. What are the three modes of material nature? What are their effects? What are the symptoms of one who's transcended the three modes of material nature? How to control the mind? These are all very valuable questions which Arjuna is asking for our benefit. So, Bhagavad Gita as it is, we should study again and again and again and again. Try to understand these basic points of philosophy. Otherwise, if we try to artificially experience exalted levels of devotional advancement, it won't be effective. Sometimes, just like I was in the airport, I think in Samara, and I saw a young girl smoking. She was maybe 12 years old or something. So I was a little surprised. See, why is she smoking? She's trying to show I'm older, I'm bigger. But she's not. She's 12 years or whatever it is old. Just by pretending to be older, you don't become old. It's just a ridiculous show. So if we pretend or artificially try to be on a very advanced platform, then it won't help us actually advance. Now, the advancement process is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Ādo śraddhā tathā sadhu saṅgā ato atar anārta nivṛtti. So, sadhu saṅgā bhajana kriya anārta nivṛtti. He says, at first, one should have some initial faith. Then, he associates with devotees. Then he takes up devotional service. Then, by the power of that devotional service, all the bad things in the heart become overcome. Then when one sees the actual effect of devotional service, then his faith becomes strong. And because he's free from all doubts, anarta means something unwanted. Another unwanted thing is so many doubts. Because that is cleared away, therefore his faith becomes very strong. There are so many doubts. Is Krishna really God? Is there really life after death? Am I not God? Can I not become God? Or maybe someone else is God? So many artificial incarnations of God. God competition going on. I'm God. No, I'm God. I can make some ashes. I can make some gold. I can talk in jugglery words. I can look at you like this. I'm God. No, I'm God. My guru is God. All rascals. God is the supreme creator. He creates, maintains, and destroys millions of universes just by his thought. So all these cheap imitation gods, they're simply imitation, nothing. Only foolish people will be attracted by them. But unless we have proper understanding, we may still have some doubts. So those doubts should be cleared away by practical devotional service, by regularly hearing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Hear it, discuss it. If Krishna consciousness is the absolute truth, as we claim, then we should be able to discuss it and understand it. Of course, we can't understand everything because our intellectual powers are limited. But if there is such a thing as intellectual understanding, which it appears from the way our mental processes function that there is, then understanding of God should also conform, at least in some respects, to that also. Otherwise, if we say, but Krishna book doesn't mean only Krishna's Vrindavan book. There's so many pastimes out of Vrindavan also. So we should read them. And Krishna is also, one very important leela is speaking Bhagavad Gita. It's also Krishna's leela. That is in the beginning stage, very, very, very important to understand Bhagavad Gita. So I say, read again, 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 again. You find in Bhagavad Gita, our Lord Krishna speaks so much about the three modes of material nature. So this is very important for us to understand. What are the three modes of material nature and how to overcome their effects? This is more important for us than trying to understand Bhagavad Krishna's ideas. We should read Krishna. Not that we shouldn't read it, not at all. We should know what our ultimate goal is. But also, we should not give up the reading of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Srimad Bhagavatam. There's so many important instructions there in the early cantos. But actually, Radha Krishna, especially, how are we to understand? We have to understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We cannot understand Radha Krishna independently of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is Sankirtan. Sankirtan means chanting the holy names together with devotees and preaching the glories of the Lord. So these activities we should do. We shouldn't try to meditate on the intimate pastimes of Radha Krishna. We should not be in the first stage. Same example, a child, there's no use to put him in the PhD course. Even an adult can't go to the PhD course unless he's passed the previous examination. So when we've been through many examinations, we'll be eligible to go to such topics. Practically everyone who has to make, who is serious about advancing their Krishna consciousness, they'll be given many examinations for Krishna. What is the mood of the gopis? They're ready to die a million times for Krishna. Such dedication, such selflessness. Selflessness is the opposite of selfishness. Lack of personal desire.
It's correct.
So, Krishna will test. When he sees that much lack of personal, when we're completely devoid of personal motive, then we may, if we are so lucky, take up such problems. We should be very, very careful not to do anything artificially or to imitate. And if you don't mind me saying so, I've seen quite a lot of devotees in Russia have this tendency to be overly sentimental without trying to understand philosophy. So sentiment is not a bad thing. Devotion to Krishna means sentiment. But that sentiment should be tempered with proper philosophical understanding. Otherwise, we may mistake our immature, mundane sentiments for highly advanced sentiments. And therefore, prematurely try to enter into a level for which we are not ready. And therefore, our real spiritual, even though we may think we have come to a high level, actually our real spiritual progress will stop. So it's better not to try to go too fast, too quick. First you have to learn to, just like a child, first has to walk, then he can run.
Usually, when a man comes in touch with some religion, on the first stages he manifests some sentiments of fanatism. But can we avoid this, or we cannot?
Well, therefore we have classes regularly in our temples. And we encourage the devotees to study the books very carefully. Still, due to immaturity, their tendency is there. Just like Pujari was telling me yesterday, some of the devotees seem to have a very neophyte attitude towards deity worship. They've heard that deity worship is especially useful to neophyte devotees. So at least this was the Pujari's analysis of the situation. And some devotees think that deity worship is useless. I'm more advanced, I do sankirtan. Therefore, we don't have to care about the deities. So, completely misunderstanding. That means they are extremely neophytes. If they have such a misunderstanding, maybe better they stop sankirtan and worship the deities. I'm not saying to stop sankirtan. We should understand who we are doing sankirtan for. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name is Sankirtan Pravartak, founder of the sankirtan movement. Or Sankirtan Pita, the father of the Sankirtan movement. So, we're doing Sankirtan so that people will come to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Two things have to go on side by side. If you've read Prabhupada's books, which you're supposed to do, not on the distributor, there you'll find that Prabhupada says there's Bhagavati Marg and Pancharatri Marg. Bhagavati Marg means the path of chanting and preaching. Pancharatri Marg means deity worship. Both things have to go on side by side. Just like the train has to go on two rails. Because that Prabhupada describes in the purport, quoting from Jiva Goswami, that because most devotees in Kali Yuga are quite contaminated, actually the holy name, chanting the holy names itself is sufficient.
liberation.
But because most people in Kali Yuga are very contaminated, therefore deity worship is also essential to purify them. So the real thing is that when we come to Sankirtan, we should come before the deities and offer results of our activities to them. If someone thinks, I'm doing Sankirtan, therefore I'm better than the others, then he's not getting the result of doing Sankirtan. The result of Sankirtan is, Trinada Pisuli Trinada Tarora Pisuli Trinada. Who can do kirtan? Who can chant? Who is more humble in standing street, more tolerant than a tree, not wanting respect for himself, but ready to give respect to others? So if we don't understand exactly why we are doing what we are doing, we may be going on sankirtan out of some fanaticism. But we won't be able to last over many years. It will be a shooting star, which makes us very bright for some time. Oh, I'm doing so much, I'm better than all the others. Then, finish. There's no proper understanding. To go on Sankirtan, it is a great privilege. That can be had by praying to Krishna, please let me go on with this service. And no devotee should think my service is better than anyone else's. If anyone thinks like that, they miss the whole point of our Krishna conscious teaching.
I and my family have very bad condition for devotional service at our home. We ask the devotees at Gurukula to help to give us permission to live there, but they refuse. And what we can do in this situation?
It's very difficult for me to say. Often people ask me this kind of questions, but it's very difficult for me to say unless I know the whole situation, the whole circumstances. Now, if the devotees refused you to stay there, they must have some reason. They didn't just do it whimsically. But I don't know what the whole story is. It may be complex in so many ways. But anyway, whatever the reason may be... No, actually there are two things. One thing, maybe there's something lacking from your side, that they don't think you're ready to live in a temple or whatever. If that is the reason, then you should look at yourself and see if you can improve yourself and make yourself fit for living with the devotees. Or it may be some other reason that they don't have space or whatever. In which case, what can you do? And you just have to do the best you can in your home situation. But it's very difficult for me to give a clear comment without knowing the whole thing. I can't just say, no, they should let you live in the temple. There must be some reason. Some other question.
Well, my child is very sick, and he is getting more and more sick every year, and doctors cannot help him. What can we do? Can we see it as our karma, as karma of my child and my karma, or must we use some traditional medicine? And what to do in this situation?
It's a combination of both things. You should try, by whatever means, to get your child healthy. But at the same time, we should know that the result is not in our hands. That health or sickness, ultimately that's in the hands of God. So that just like in Ayurveda it said, Oshadhi Chintayet Vishnam. Taking medicine, we should also think of Krishna and pray for himself.
If a devotee is envious of worshipping deities, if he cannot understand the aim of Sankirtana, if he has a mood like that, what he can do in this situation?
It's another healthy question. What is the problem? Why are envious of the deities? Bring out the topic, discuss it with the devotees. It's an unreasonable claim to be envious of the deities. So let us examine, what is the reason? Why should we be envious of Krishna? Are you God? Do you think you should stand on the altar and everyone should worship you? Just try to consider reasonably. And then, when you understand, just kick out all the bad things. If it doesn't make sense, don't keep it in your mind. Why not like Sankirtan? What's wrong? But why not go out and give this knowledge to others? Therefore we have these books, we have these classes. Because we all have these things in our heart to some degree or other. We're all envious of Krishna. We all averse to engaging in Krishna's service. Therefore, we have to regularly hear to understand, become purified. So, regularly hear, understand, and if we have serious doubts, we should discuss them with
seeing all these. You should be sincere also to overcome them. If we're determined to keep all these rascal ideas in our heart, then there's no amount of discussion that can help us. No one can help us unless we are prepared to help ourselves. In English there's a saying, God helps those who help themselves.
When we pray to deities to help us, can we expect that the blessings will come automatically, or we should do something, try to do something to get them?
I think this was discussed in some detail. Were you in yesterday's class? There's the cat philosophy, monkey philosophy, and the rope in the well. So that is the answer.
Your problem is, can I become a disciple?
Well, are you ready for that?
I think I'm ready.
Alright, well, that we have to see. It's not instant. Do they have that instant coffee here? They have that in Russia?
Very, very good.
So you just make some. You put some coffee and boom, instant, boom, don't you? So, we don't have instant gurus or instant disciples. All of a sudden, boom. Yes, you can be, but there's some formalities that you have to do. And one of them is you have to take cake, offer to Krishna.
Guru, who are you, Yaroslavl?
Well, I haven't seen much of Yaroslavl except the train station and here and what's in between. But whatever I've seen is very nice, no doubt.
Is it your first visit?
Second visit. I came here last year also.
After
a few hours only. Did you tell you informed about the questions of etymologies and
time? Yeah, I told you. What is your schedule? Which temples you visited or you will visit?
In Russia?
Yeah.
Well, you can tell that, can't you? You know more or less. Traveling monks. And one of the duties of traveling monks is to, in our society, is to visit the different centers, to give instruction to the devotees staying there. So especially in Russia, because our movement is quite new, and there's a lot of enthusiasm, many people are joining. So it's quite important that our traveling monks visit here to give guidance to the devotees, so they can understand the philosophy properly. Because Krishna consciousness is not simply a sentiment or a dogmatism or a fanaticism. It is based on scripture and philosophical understanding. It is not something new invented, but it's been practiced for many thousands of years, not only on this planet but on other planets also.
Maybe you can explain a little bit how you became a spiritual master.
Yeah, that is on the order of my spiritual master. That is the normal system, that a spiritual master instructs his disciples. And after his passing away to the spiritual world, he leaves his mission in the charge of his most serious and advanced disciples. So that is a natural development, just like a child grows up and becomes the father of other children. So a disciple, in course of time, should become a guru also.
Can you say your spiritual position and spiritual name?
Yeah, my spiritual position is the same as everybody else's. Yeah, I'm a member of the Sangha. That means those who have made a commitment to dedicate their life only to preaching Krishna consciousness, and specifically those who have taken the vow not to get married, but to completely dedicate themselves, but not to marry, so they can fully dedicate themselves to this. So there are about 80 sannyasis in our movement. As far as within the hierarchy, organizationally, I don't have any official position. Some sannyasis are engaged in the management and organization. I am not. Because I'm trying to save my time or energies for write, as well as traveling and preaching for writing also.
Can you describe or explain briefly the essence of the teachings of Hare Krishna movement?
Yes. First thing to understand is that these bodies are temporary, but we are souls, we are eternal. Yeah, the soul is eternal, the body is temporary. We are living beings, we are spirit souls, we are living within the body. When the body dies, we go to another body. A according to our activities in this life, we get another body. But this transmigration from one body to another is not very good, because it means continued suffering. Material life means suffering of birth, death, old age and disease. Our real, eternal, happy life is with Krishna in the spiritual world. When we say Krishna, we mean God. There are many different names for God in different cultures. Krishna is God's personal name. If we say Bhoga or God, that means his position. Just like we can say the position, the premier of Russia. So that describes his position. But his personal name is Boris Yeltsin. So in the same way, if we say God or Bhoga, then that is saying the position. But his personal name is Krishna. Alright, so that's basically it.
Can you notice some new things which you saw only in Russia, some different things in comparison with other countries?
Basically, the world is the same. People are born, they grow up, they die. People are wasting their lives without understanding God. There may be some material differences between Russia and other places. I've met here in Russia many very good, open-hearted people who are very pleased to accept this message of Krishna consciousness. Russia is now in a period of change, and many new ideas, and Russia is open to so many different things. So I would request the Russian people not to simply follow the bad path of Western materialism. The Western countries are very much economically developed, but spiritually and morally, they are worse than bankrupt. They're in a very sick position. Western society is full of so many problems, and it would be a great mistake for Russia to blindly import all these problems. Russia has a great spiritual tradition. There have been many great saintly people. So we would request the Russian people to turn to their spiritual roots. Let us join with the knowledge given in this Krishna consciousness movement. Russia can lead the world. Russia is known as a great country, but real greatness is not material might, but spiritual purity. Material power, that means. So the whole world is in need of spiritual solutions.
He can form Russia.
So if Russian people take up the spiritual knowledge, the genuinely spiritual path, they can solve their own problems and give guidance to the people of the world. So our suggestion is, people take this chanting of the names of God very seriously. We're not saying
Krishna.
No, I'm not saying the names of God. I didn't say that. If you feel more accustomed to, you can chant the names of God according to the Christian tradition or the Islamic tradition. To improve the spiritual atmosphere in Russia, if some rules are followed, that will be very helpful.
The rules means?
Some regulations.
Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, I'll describe them. One very important thing is to close slaughterhouses, because this creates an atmosphere of unnecessary violence. If we unnecessarily slaughter animals, then the reaction will come that we won't have to be slaughtered. According to the law of karma, if you unnecessarily cause violence, even to animals, that reaction will come back to you. There's no real reason why there should be any fighting. There's no real reason why people can't live together peacefully. But because of lack of God consciousness, there is unnecessary. Now, even if people want to eat meat, we don't object. We don't eat meat, but if others want to, we don't object. We don't think it's very good, but they should just wait till the animal dies, then they eat. Why unnecessarily kill the animal? Just like the cow, she gives you milk. In that way, she is like our mother. So, to kill her is most ungrateful. In her old age, she should be protected. Just like our own mother should be protected. So if we do this, this will create a very peaceful... Jai, Hare Krishna. If we do this, this will create a... If we stop this unnecessary slaughter, this will create a peaceful, favorable situation.
First you said, if we do this, have you some problems in turbulence, transport?
Life is a problem. There's always... Especially traveling, there's always some inconvenience.
Consequently, Consequently, have you particular financial problems?
By the grace of Krishna, not that you turn out myself individually. Yeah. That our understanding is that God is supporting everybody. The ants get their food, the elephants get their food, everyone is fed by God. So those who are engaged in the work of God, will they not also be maintained by Him?
Where you was studying in India?
Well, I spent a lot of time in Bengal.
But which kind of education you got?
Well, I studied Indian philosophy, especially Vaishnava philosophy.
He means which kind of institute?
Institute means our temples. Just like you saw, I was giving a class, and we have practical instruction also, yeah. Just like in...